Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are now listening to Tuesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us. You are listening, of course, on shortwave at frequency 3.215, online at republicbroadcasting.org, as well as franklyspeakingradio.com. And we're thrilled that you're here. Our guest, his website is NephilimApocalypse.com. He is the author of the book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, which we're discussing here this evening. Please welcome back to the program Dr. Patrick Herron. Patty, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Now, when we left off, we were talking about Quetzalcoatl, of course, the feathered serpent from Central and South American lore and mythology and whatnot. And for those who missed the first hour, shame on them. But what we're discussing here is the Nephilim. Now, let me ask you this. I've never really been quite clear. The Nephilim are the progeny of the fallen angels in human women, or the Nephilim are the fallen angels?
I believe the Nephilim are the fallen angels.
Okay, okay. Fair.
Most people refer to them as the offspring because it talks in King James and says there was giants in the earth. But the actual Hebrew word for giants is gibbar. It's totally different.
Oh, okay.
Whereas the Nephilim means the fallen ones.
I see.
And when you go up to Revelation, it talks about, you know, the ten kings. Five are fallen, one is. It talks about, I beheld Satan as lightning falling to earth. These are the fallen ones. But I'm not going to get into an argument about that. If people want to call the giants the Nephilim, that's okay with me.
Oh.
In fact, I mentioned in my book that they are also called the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
But technically speaking, the Nephilim are the fallen ones because they fell from heaven, they fell from grace, and they fell to earth. And they are the fallen ones, and they are the important ones. The giants, the progeny are, you know, I think they were big, you know, awkward, ugly oafs. I don't think they're any big deal as opposed to the Nephilim themselves, who are these incredible serpents, as you say.
Yes.
By the way, just before I forget it, you talked about Quetzalcoatl, or however you pronounce that, in Viracocha, the feathered serpent in Central and South America. And then over in Cambodia, we have Garuda, and he's depicted as a statue too, a man with a bird's head in Angkor Wat. And Angkor Wat is an incredible big stone building out in the middle of nowhere in Cambodia, in the middle of the forest. I believe in total size, it's like almost the same size as London area-wise. And phenomenal. And one guy mentioned in his book, can't think of his name now, I have it in my book, that he reckons that the word Angkor Wat comes from Ankh, which is, when you see these pictures of Egyptian gods, they're always holding this circular thing with a cross on it.
Yes.
Called the Ankh, and it means life or living or eternal life, I think it sort of is supposed to intend.
Mm.
So they think Angkor comes from Ankh, mean life or living or eternal life, and Hor, the short for Horus, this feathered serpent. Because I think those guys were knocking around after the flood of Noah, that there was a second eruption of these fallen angels with women after the flood of Noah. We're told that the first fallen angels are locked up in the subterranean prison known as Tartarus, but we're not told that the fallen angels that fell the second time are locked up. And I think those guys are still at large. I think they're still wandering the earth, and I think that's why a lot of these buildings begin in the Middle East and the Near East and in Egypt. Then they move out to places like Ireland with Newgrange and lots of stuff here. Then to South and Central America. Then over to Cambodia. You know, maybe they were the guys, obviously they were the guys who stuck up all these giant heads on Easter Ireland to keep ordinary humans out, to frighten the life out of them.
Absolutely.
And that they're still at large and hiding out there in some forest, perhaps, in Cambodia.
That's amazing stuff. Patrick Herron, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest here this evening. We're going to take a short break, but we're back in 3 minutes to continue this discussion. And again, while you're waiting, feel free to check out the website there, www.NephilimApocalypse.com. We're back in 3 minutes.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine, Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. It is Tuesday morning, and you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, airing planet-wide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest this evening, Dr. Patrick Herron. Patty, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, wow. You know, I can't even fathom how fast time is going. We've barely scratched the surface, my friend.
Yeah. Now, you wanted to talk a little bit about the serpent of Genesis
yes.
3. I think we should talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
Yeah, the serpent of Genesis 3, of course, a lot of people, they think this is an apple and a snake, but it's no such thing at all. The Hebrew word for serpent is nakash, and it means to hiss, to mutter, to enchant, to charm, a fiery serpent, to be bright. That's sort of what it means. So when it talks about the serpent seducing Adam and Eve, it was talking about Satan himself. If a couple of times in the book of Revelation talks about that old serpent, the dragon, who is the devil and Satan. It's a figure of speech. It's the same way as when John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, he wasn't looking at a little woolly animal with four legs, you know.
Right.
And, of course, when it refers to Jesus as being the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's a lion, he's a lamb. It's a figure of speech which constitutes part of his sort of makeup, a lion and a lamb at the same time. In the same way, this guy is a dragon and he's a serpent. But that's a figure of speech for this beautiful-looking man, a glorious spirit being of superior aspect, superior wisdom and knowledge, full of beauty, full of fascination, with the ability to enchant and to charm. This guy had charmed the birds off a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So it was to this bright, shining angel, this being, a person, a man, that Eve paid such great deference, not to a snake. And in fact, I've read a couple of little studies lately, haven't nailed it down that, but there's quite a few people around believe, with the Hebrew words and the idioms that are used there, that it was a sexual sin in the Garden of Eden.
Really?
And that Satan actually had sex with Eve, and that she became pregnant by Satan, and also by Adam. And that she had fraternal twins, which means twins but by two different fathers. And this is not an unusual phenomenon, Frank. In fact, a few years ago, you may have remembered that there was a prostitute in New York, and she gave birth to twins. Mm-hmm. And one was black and one was white.
That's true.
She had sex with a black man and a white man, one after the other. So fraternal twins, and that's why it says Cain, who was of that wicked one, and he was the first murderer, and he killed his own brother. And that's why it talks about in Genesis 3:15, which you mentioned was the first promise and prophecy of the Messiah, where it says when God confronted Adam and Eve and the serpent, who is Satan, he said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you, your seed and her seed." There's two different seeds there. "It shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So it said the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent of Satan. Mm-hmm. Now that's a very damning prophecy coming from the Most High God.
Yeah.
That he's going to crush your head, because the head is where the nerve center is, where the heart is, and you wipe that out and somebody's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it said the seed of the serpent shall bruise his heel. In other words, that was a non-fatal wound to a non-vital part of the body, mm-hmm. the heel, referring to the crucifixion. And that's why the Nephilim were sent to Earth in the first place. That's why Satan sent these guys down here, to kill off the seed of the man, the seed of the Messiah, mm-hmm. the seed of the woman, to break that link. Because if he could kill that seed, then it means that he could avert this prophecy avert his own demise, as it were, sure. and those of the rest of his followers, the guys that rebelled with him. That's what they were trying to do. That's why they almost wiped out the whole of humankind at that time. But, of course, God is always one step or two steps ahead mm-hmm. in this eternal chess game.
Amen.
And that seed of the woman was saved through Noah and his family. And several other times in the Old Testament, the devil tried to wipe out Israel and the seed mm-hmm. of the woman. And even when the Messiah was born, you know, they sent out the guys and they murdered all the babies of 2 years and under. Then later on, the Messiah, when he was there and he started his ministry, they were trying to push him off the edge of the cliff. And then ultimately, they did kill him. They did crucify him, and they thought, hey, we got rid of this guy.
Yeah.
It says, if the princes of this world had known about the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So that's what they're all trying to do. And even then, once they can break the prophecy, they can avert their own demise. And that's even why Hitler tried to wipe out all the Jews, because they knew the prophecy was that in the last days, in the latter days, the Jews were going to be regathered and established in Palestine again, even after 2,000 years. So they tried to kill all the Jews again. They're always trying to do it. But as I say, you know, the victory is ours, and God is always in control, and he's always two steps ahead of whatever Satan and the devil and his guys are going to do.
Amen.
So that's what Genesis 3:15 was all about. That's who this serpent is, and that's who these guys are. They're serpents. And that's why it talks about, I was talking to a young Christian guy from Northern Ireland a few years ago about this, and he said, that's right, Paddy, it wasn't the snakes that St. Patrick drove out of Ireland, it was the serpents that he drove out. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that these guys were living here in Ireland too, these serpents. The Druids talked about it, the Tudatha Dé Danann, who were supposed to be one of the first tribes in Ireland. And in one book I have by Oscar Wilde's father, Sir William Wilde, he said, some ancient writings held that the Tudatha Dé Danann were not real people at all, but were what he called fairies or sprites. And sprites is ye olde English for spirits. and that they were expert in magic and necromancy and in the occult, and they weren't real human beings at all.
Wow.
And I believe that, they were pushed out of here when the Word of God came in under Patrick, and it was the serpents that he drove out.
That's amazing. Yeah, because also in Genesis, when it says that the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field, you say the correct translation there is just living beings. Beasts of the field would be, you know, anything alive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's an important point, too.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about powerful, spiritual, superhuman, supernatural beings here.
Yes.
We have an idea of the magic that they can perform, too, because in the future, when they come to the earth in the apocalypse again, mm-hmm. under the guise of this beast from the abyss, a guy called Apollo who's going to come out, and he's going to be the Antichrist. And it says, they deceive the whole world with our lying signs and wonders and with our power. And, of course, we have lots of counterfeit stuff in there in the book of Revelation where he dies. He is assassinated, I think. And then by the power of the devil, he is raised from the dead again. Mm-hmm. This is in front of the whole world. And this is your counterfeit resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Testament, when Moses and Aaron went in to the Pharaoh and said, let our people go, Aaron threw down his wooden staff and it turned into a snake, into a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that Pharaoh, he had his magicians, his prognosticators there, his occult witches. They threw down their staffs, and they were able to turn their wooden staffs into serpents. But Aaron's serpent ate up their serpents. So this shows you the power they have, that these guys could change sticks into living snakes.
Sure.
And in the future, we're told that the false prophet, who's the sidekick, the right-hand man of the Antichrist to come, is going to be able to breathe life into an image of the beast. In other words, there's a statue of this beautiful-looking guy who we've identified, and I've identified in my book, as Apollo,
mm-hmm.
who was one of the original Greek gods, along with Mercury and Pluto and Zeus and Poseidon, etc. And,
mm-hmm.
and they can breathe life into this, which is they can make it come alive, and they can call down fire from heaven. And they deceive almost the whole world with their lying signs and wonders. Powerful spirit beings.
Oh, yeah.
No problem to them to be able to move huge blocks and build this incredible pyramid.
Yes.
No problem to them to be able to carve incredible sarcophagi or huge blocks weighing 1,000 tons and levitate them into place. You're talking about spirit power here.
That's right. Not to mention, of course, you mentioned about the deception. And you look at the Garden of Eden as a perfect example. But, you know, if Satan, Lucifer, is so convincing, so charming, and so charismatic that he can convince a third of the angels, you know, who are with God all the time. You know, I mean, it seems like they got it made, but he convinces a third of them to leave. He must be pretty convincing, I would say.
Well, absolutely. And he was top man when he was created back then, you know.
Yeah.
It said he was made after the pattern. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He, you know, but because of his own beauty,
yeah,
that caused his downfall. You know, pride was his downfall.
Right.
Pride comes before. So, and I've read, you know, books by people who've seen him and who've seen his spirit, and they always appear as beautiful-looking men, gorgeous-looking men, long, dark hair, beautiful-looking, and then sometimes they change into ugly monsters before their eyes. And I think a lot of the stuff we see on the TV, Frank, is right out of reality, like Buffy Vampire Slayer and Dark Angel and Stargate. And I think all this stuff is preparing us for what's coming down the tracks. And I think that's why there's so much UFO activity going on at the moment.
Well, and, it's very possible, my friend, that we could talk about this for about 15 more hours. But we're up to another break here. And obviously, you mentioned about the UFOs, and we should also talk about this a little bit, that when you look at the Great Pyramid, it has astronomical significance as far as things it's pointed at and so on and so forth. And then all the other structures as well bear some sort of significance. And then that takes us to the constellations and, of course, what makes up constellations, but stars, and what is the point of those stars? What is the point of the constellations? And how are they written about in Scripture? And I'd like to delve into that when we come back here after this quick break, Patty. Folks, if you're just joining us, shame on you. You've missed an incredible hour and 20 minutes, and we have plenty more where that came from. Dr. Patrick Heron is our guest. The book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, the show, Frankly Speaking Radio, and we're back in 3 minutes. Please stay with us.
We
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. Excuse me. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad that you're able to hear this information from our guest this evening. Let's bring him back. His name is Dr. Patrick Herron, author of the book The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. Patty, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. We left off. We were discussing the significance of stars, constellations, astronomy in general.
Yeah, I have a chapter in the book on the whole astronomical stellar configuration and association with these guys. Because very often these people are referred to in the Bible as the stars of heaven, the host of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in Revelation 9, it says a star fell from heaven, another one fell again, with the key to the bottomless pit. And this is not talking about a regular key, or regular star rather, falling to heaven. And another place it talks about the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casting her figs as if it was shaken by a mighty wind. And these are not ordinary stars. It often refers to these angels as stars. And we're told back in Psalms somewhere, I think it says, that in the beginning God named and numbered the stars. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these men have stellar names. Now, Lucifer is a Latin word. People fight about this, argue about it, but apparently it means the morning light. And, of course, Venus was the bright and morning star. And Jesus Christ was referred to in the future as the bright and morning star. But other gods have these stellar names, like Apollo, Mercury, Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Etc. You know, and I have a whole chapter about these because they seem to be named after stars and vice versa, our planets. Mm-hmm. And our planets. And also these four star shafts that I mentioned earlier in the program that pointed four distinct star signs from the Great Pyramid: Orion, Sirius, Beta, Ursa Minor, and Draco. Well, Draco is, of course, the dragon, which mm-hmm. is a star sign in the constellation of the Serpents, which is the serpent. And as I mentioned earlier, and it says twice in Revelation, the dragon and the serpent, who is the devil and Satan. Orion ties in with the mighty hunter of Greek mythology, Orion. Sirius is associated with Isis, who was the Egyptian high god of death and resurrection. Beta Ursa Minor, I don't know who that is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys have astronomical connections, and as I say, they're all often called the host of heaven. And they know about this stuff. They know about these prophecies. The whole thing about the Messiah being born, about the lion of the tribe of Judah rising in the constellation of Virgo and stuff. I have a chapter on that. I'm not an expert in that stuff, but it is fascinating.
There's
a huge work to be done in that whole thing. But the Magi, the Persian Magi, knew by the constellations, by the stars, and what was happening in the stellar configurations at that time, that the promised Messiah was being born, or had been born. And it may have been that Jesus may have been 2 years old by the time they got all their stuff together in their caravan and traveled all the way from where they were to Bethlehem to see him. And that's why I believe it says Herod went out and had all the children killed up to 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But, it says in Genesis that when God made the stars, he made them for signs and for seasons and to mark things to come. And I wouldn't be surprised if stuff that are happening in the stars are going to mark what's coming down in the future. And I think that's why in Egypt and in a lot of these buildings around the world, like Angkor Wat, like the pyramids in Mexico, etc., they all seem to have stellar connections and stellar associations.
Mm-hmm.
Because these beings that built them are very familiar with the stars, with the constellation, with the precision of the equinoxes, etc., and they're probably watching them to see what they are saying. And that's why they're so interested in them. And maybe that's why that Mayan calendar stops on the 21st of December 2012. Maybe they already know something that we don't know.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to bring up to you, because you have it down here in the book that the calculations basically and they would differ, I guess, depending on who you talk to, but it boils down to Jesus's birthday technically being September 11th 3 BC, which that means that technically, Patty, I guess it would be, what, 2010 right now, if we're 3 years off?
Yeah, maybe 2011 or 2012.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly, but he wasn't born in the world in the year zero.
It's right.
Anywhere from 3 to 7 BC, I think.
It seems
if you go back and look at the chronology all the way back to Adam, according to Bishop Usher, which I have at the back of my book, it says it was 4,004 years from Adam to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So maybe if he was born in 4 BC, that would make it exactly 4,000. I wouldn't be surprised if that was right. And then it was 4,000 from Adam to Jesus, 2,000 from Jesus to now. That's 6,000.
Wow.
And it talks about a 1,000-year millennial reign.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that ties in with the 7 days of creation.
Wow.
6 days and then the 1 year of Sabbath.
That is amazing. Patty, let me ask you to hang on again through another quick break. Folks, we're going to take a short interlude here. We'll be back in 3 minutes with our special guest this evening, Dr. Patrick Herron. Check out the book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, a vital resource in your understanding of the overall picture. I guarantee you that. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale, and let me remind you, this hour is being brought to you by BioSolutions, featuring one of the most advanced Rife machines available to the public. BioSolutions has the solution for your good health. Give them a call toll-free at 886-885-6625 with questions about your situation, or you can visit them at www.natural-solution.com. Please welcome back to the program our special guest this evening, Dr. Patrick Heron. Patty, glad you're here.
Delighted to be with you, Frank. By the way, can I just get a quick plug in before
of course,
we
absolutely.
The last thing? Because my first book was called Apocalypse Soon,
mm-hmm.
and it was a bestseller here in Ireland 10 years ago. Great little book. For some reason, it's quite short. It's a great book for giving out to people, you know. It's sort of in your face. I don't ask me why, but for some reason people really love it. There's a guy who owns a hunting and fishing shop in Temple Bar here in Dublin, and he originally read it 5 times in a row.
Wow.
A woman rang me up from Glasgow in Scotland a couple of weeks after it came out, all those years ago. She read it 3 times in a row. I met a young man and his wife in Italy 2 years ago when we went for a quick break, me and my wife. And I was talking to this other guy about the Nephilim, and he said to me, did you write another book? And I said, yeah. He said, what was it called? I said, Apocalypse Soon. He said, are you Robert Herron? I said, no, I'm Paddy Herron, Patrick Herron. Mm-hmm. And he said, I read Apocalypse Soon 3 times in a row, and it saved my life. And Apocalypse Soon has been published in the United States by Tom Horn of RaidersNewsUpdate.com. So it's going to be in Christian bookshops very soon.
Wonderful.
I think it's coming out this week.
Oh,
and,
great.
You can buy it online from www.RaidersNewsUpdate.com. And I also wanted to quickly mention my two DVDs.
Yes.
Because Grizzly Adams Productions brought out two TV specials. One is called Apocalypse and the End Times, and that's a secular DVD. And the other one is End Times, How Close Are We? And that's for the Christian market. And both of those are available in shops now, too. And they've got a whole hour of the End Times, the Apocalypse, by various guests. I'm in there. I'm the executive producer. And both these are based on both my books, The Nephilim and Apocalypse Soon. And they're very slick, very professional, very well done. It's a whole hour show. Then there's an extra hour bonus section, and I get a whole half an hour in the bonus section doing my thing in there. So they're available in shops, or you can get it at www.grizzlyadams.tv. Otherwise, you can get the Nephilim, as I say, in Barnes & Noble, Borders, and other shops. It's available. In fact, on Amazon.com, I see they have a good few used ones there, new and used, from only $8 and a few cents. So it's very, very reasonable. So
sure.
Just wanted to get that little plug in before we get into what I want to talk to now, which is the return of the Nephilim.
Yes.
And this is what's very exciting me at the moment, Frank. It's great stuff. Just first, I want to get into a little bit about the how the Great Pyramid ties in with the future coming New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I read earlier in the program, in the interview, that it says in Isaiah 19, 19, and 20, that in that day, which is the last days, there'll be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And this altar and pillar in the middle of Egypt and at the border is the Great Pyramid of Giza. And we're told it'll be a sign and a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. So what is it a sign of, and what is it a witness to? Well, to answer this conundrum, we jump up first to John chapter 14, where Jesus said one of his most famous statements. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he said he was going to this house of many mansions to prepare a place, and that he was going to come back and take us to this place, this house of many mansions. Later on, then, in Corinthians, Paul talked about an eternal house that we have in the heavens, whose architect was God, and it was not made by human hands. Then later on in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Abraham, and it said he looked for a city in heaven whose builder and maker was God. And two or three other times in Hebrews, at the end of Hebrews, it talks about this literal, physical, quote, end of quote, heavenly city. For instance, in Hebrews 12:22, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. And this is literally where heaven is. There is a parallel universe out there. There is intelligent life form on another planet. It's called in the Bible heaven. It's not called Planet X or Nibiru. It's not the Anunnaki that live out there. It's God, the Father, and sitting on his right hand is his Son, Jesus Christ. We're told that they are surrounded by 24 elders who sit on 24 thrones. We don't know who those guys are, so we shall not speculate, but they're probably the people that it talks about in Genesis when it says, let us make man in our image. And they're in turn surrounded by myriads and myriads of these other men, these spirit men, in this place called heaven. That's where Jesus is now. He's preparing a place for us to go. He's preparing for a very, very large visitation. And it says he's going to come back and get us and bring us to this place. So he's up there now. Also in this place is the devil and his angels. He still lives in there. Contrary to popular belief, I don't believe the devil and his angels were cast out of heaven thousands of years ago when they tried to have a military coup and usurp the throne of Yahweh. Because we're told in, Revelation 9, I think, or 12, I'm not sure, but I have the verses in front of me here. It says there was war in heaven. Now, this is future, right? It says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. neither was their place found any more in heaven. So they're still there. And it says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So they are still there in this place we call heaven, which is called in the Bible heaven. And in verse 10 it says, and I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Right? The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Day and night the devil is before the throne of God accusing the brethren. That's you and me, Frank. He's saying, look at that Paddy Heron guy down there. He'd 5 pints of Guinness last night. Then he went home and had a row with his wife, and then he kicked the cat, you know? And look at that Frank Whalen guy down there. Like, somebody gave him some abuse on the radio, and he wanted to beat him up out in the car park because he's a hard man. Hey, you know, we're sinners, right? So they still have access. We've got to think of heaven perhaps being a little bit like earth. You're over there in Arkansas. I'm here in Dublin, right?
Right.
Perhaps it's the same in heaven. We have the city of the living God. Mount Zion, it's called. By the way, when you think of Mount Zion, you think of Mount Olympus, Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount St. Helens. It's not a cube. It's Mount is the short for mountain. In other words, it's a pyramid in shape. And living there are God and Jesus and the good guys. Then perhaps maybe it's some distance away, maybe like I'm in Dublin and you're over there in Arkansas, the devil and his guys are living some way away on this same place called heaven. But day and night, before he appears before God, accusing the brethren. But in the future, it says he's going to be cast down to the earth. He's thrown out and he's thrown down to earth. And that's why it says in Revelation 6, it says, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree, casting her untimely figs, as if the tree was shaken by a mighty wind. It says these guys are going to be cast down to earth. And the mind picture it gives is of figs falling off a fig tree. These guys are going to be manifested, I believe, on the earth again. Mm-hmm. Around the same time, according to Revelation chapter 9, the bottomless pit is going to be opened, and these other angelic beings, these nefarious creatures that are locked up in Tartarus since the days of the flood, are released. And that's when Apollyon, who I've identified as Apollo, comes up, and he becomes the beast from the abyss, mm-hmm. who goes on to become the Antichrist, who leads the whole world astray. And that's why it says in Revelation chapter 17 verse 8, the beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. And his name, Apollyon and Abaddon, means the destroyer. And when it says he will go to his destruction, it doesn't mean he's going to be destroyed. It means he's going to destroy the whole world, which ends up in Armageddon. And it says again, and the inhabitants of the world, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come again. That same expression. Because he once was. When was he once? In the days prior to the flood of Noah, for the 1,000 or so years there, where they reigned on the earth together with the rest of the gods, Mercury, Pluto, Poseidon, Athena, Demeter, causing the violence and bloodshed then. Now is not. Why? Because he's locked up in the subterranean prison in the bottomless pit in Tartarus, and yet will come again, come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction when they're released in Revelation chapter 9. Now, I believe personally that when the rapture happens and when the church is taken up and Jesus Christ brings all the church of God, that the dead in Christ will rise first. We're going to meet him in the air, it says, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him. When we're taken to heaven, I believe it's called the bride of Christ, the church of God. We arrive in heaven. All of a sudden, heaven is going to be a very, very small place because there's going to be several hundred million people from down through the ages who arrive back there. And I don't think God and Jesus Christ are going to put up with the accuser, with the devil, accusing the brethren before the throne of God, that mm-hmm. they're going to put up with his betrothed, his the bride of Christ waiting to be married, with the accuser accusing him anymore. And that's when they get the boot. They get kicked down. Their place is found no more in heaven, and they fall to earth like figs falling off of a fig tree. Now, here's an interesting thing, Frank. Wait till you hear this. Last year, I got an email. Have we a couple of minutes before the next break?
Yes, we do.
Last year, I got an email from a young Australian guy who was over in New Zealand. And he said he had this vision when he was in New Zealand. And I'm going to read to you what he said here. It's very short.
Okay.
Quote, in the dream, I was standing on the top of a mountain. I looked up into the sky and saw hundreds of floating, flying pyramids. I felt very real dread and fear. I pointed to the sky and said, the Nephilim are here. Some of them are so close they were huge. Imagine the great pyramids suspended in the air. I have normal dreams, but I know this was divine. It was so real that when I awoke, I was very much shaken. Now, I've exchanged a couple of emails with this young man. He told me he believed this was a vision from God. He went looking and studying the Nephilim on the internet, found my book, read it, and then got in contact with me.
Wow.
Last year, after I was on Coast to Coast, I got an email from this Christian in Texas. So I rang him up, spoke to him. An ordinary guy, married with a few kids, he's in security, you know, no big deal pastor or minister or anything like that. And when he got saved back in the mid-90s, he said some pastor ministered to him, and the Spirit came on him in waves. And he said he had about 30 dreams or visions. And in three of these visions, he said that he saw the Nephilim coming down to earth in pyramids, and that they come out of the pyramids and they were trying to entice ordinary people to go into them. A few weeks ago, I was on some other website, and I found this other vision that was written many years ago. Now, I get a lot of these newsletters with visions, and most of the time I read the first two sentences and I just delete them because I know already they're a load of rubbish. But something clicked with these guys. And in this other one that I read, it said they saw these pyramids coming to earth, the Nephilim came out, they were hunting these people, etc., etc., and that people were coming in out of them and they looked like zombies. Now, I'm not saying for sure that when the fallen angels fall to earth, when they come again, they're coming in UFOs shaped like pyramids, but it very well may happen. As you and I know, Frank, the devil always copies or duplicates or imitates what the true God does. That's why there's a counterfeit resurrection in Revelation.
Yes.
We know that the new Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven in the future, in according to Revelation chapter 21, we're told its length and its breadth and its height is the same. It's a pyramid in shape. That's why it's called Mount Zion, the city of God. The devil knows this also. He knows scriptures better than you and I do. That's why he was able to quote the scripture to Jesus when he told him to jump off the temple. He said, for it is written, his angels will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. These guys may possibly come to earth in, quote, spaceships, end of quote, in the shape of pyramids. They may say, look, we are the gods. We are the Anunnaki from planet X and Nibiru. We planted the seed of mankind here thousands of years ago. Look at Isaiah 19:19. It says that the pyramid is going to be a sign and a witness to God. Look at Revelation chapter 21. It says in there that the New Jerusalem is a pyramid shape and it's going to come down to earth. Maybe this is the great deception, the great lie, and the majority of the people in the world at that time are going to be deceived, except for the elect of God, people who are going to realize what's going on and believe in that time.
Wow.
Maybe that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to imitate what the true God says in the Word. Because remember, Antichrist means in the stead of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to present himself as the Messiah.
Yes.
And funnily enough, apparently the Orthodox Jews are getting very excited that the Messiah, the true Messiah, is about to come, because they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And very interestingly enough, the president of Iran and all the Muslims are terribly excited because they believe the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, is getting ready to appear on the world stage. And
this year, actually.
Yeah, they're talking about this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see whether he's a false prophet or not if he doesn't arrive by March the 12th or whatever it is.
Yeah.
My money says he doesn't. But you never know. But they're expecting this guy to arrive. They're saying he's going to establish Islam as the world dominant religion in a series of apocalyptic battles.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that he's going to have a lieutenant, a right man, who is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So isn't
exactly
this incredible?
Right.
We know that the Antichrist is Apollo, Apollyon, and that he's going to have a right-hand sidekick called the False Prophet. And here we have the Muslims expecting the 12th Imam to arrive, or the Mahdi. By the way, they believe that the 12th Imam, or the Mahdi, as a young boy hundreds of years ago, disappeared and hid in a well somewhere, and that he's going to come out of a hole in the ground again to lead Islam to world dominance.
Wow.
And that's exactly what the Bible says, that these guys are locked up in Tartarus, under our feet somewhere, in the bottomless pit, and they're going to come out of this bottomless pit in the future, and Apollo goes on to be the beast from the abyss, who is the Antichrist in the stead of Christ. And he's going to say, I am the Christ. So it sort of makes sense to me that these guys might come in spaceships in the shape of pyramids, falling to earth like figs falling off a fig tree. In fact, I had lunch with two UFO guys the other day, who are not Christians, and they told me that a lot of the sightings, that the UFO sightings now are triangular in shape. And
that's
if you
true.
Look at a lot of the crop circles that you see that we've seen sometime in the past, a lot of them depict pyramids. And I think the reason, Frank, that we're seeing all this UFO activity is they're preparing the world. They can come down as a big surprise all of a sudden. So they're just sending the little messages. There's stuff appearing all over the place, you know. People are seeing things happening. They're softening the ground for what's coming in the future with their advanced scouting parties.
Absolutely, brother. I could not agree with you more. I try to pay attention to news trends, and we've certainly seen quite a few stories about lights in the sky, be they objects moving back and forth, things that are relatively unnatural. A lot of stories about meteor and impacts and things like that. Folks, stay with us. We'll be back to wrap up with our guest, Dr. Patrick Heron, in 3 minutes.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You know, we call it the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and my guests and I, perfect example of how fast time can fly. It's been an amazing 2 hours. And again, my friends, I would strongly urge you to pick up this book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. In here, you have an explanation of genetic engineering. I think there's it explains ancient engineering. It explains ancient mathematical expertise, astronomical expertise. It contextualizes prophecy. And really does such an astounding job that this book is the perfect gift, I think, for somebody who is relatively new to this, but maybe somebody like myself who maybe has an interest in something like this, because there's so many different disciplines that are, you know, sort of pulled together. The interconnectedness of it all has really been laid out here so well by our guest. You can see these books, of course, at NephilimApocalypse.com. That's his website. And I imagine we'll be hearing from him more and more as, hopefully, as time goes on. And we can pin him down for some ridiculously early morning interviews. Dr. Patrick Herron, I call him Patty. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Frank. To finish what I was speaking about earlier there, by the way, which I didn't go into, I should have, is the prophecy from Daniel chapter 2, verse 40.
Okay.
And it talks about the future government which is coming on the earth. And it talks about the 10 towers made up of clay and iron and clay. And the clincher of what this future government is on the earth in the apocalypse is in verse 43. It says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay."
Mm.
It talks about miry clay and iron and clay because you and I are clay, Frank. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. But these guys, when they fall to earth, they are going to be referred to as iron as opposed to clay because of their spiritual power, their superhuman abilities, their magic, their spirit, supernatural beings. That's why they are iron, and they're going to crush and bruise. And they're 10 toes. There's going to be a sort of a G10 on the earth under the power of this Antichrist, 10 geographic regions. That's why I think the borders are being broken down with Mexico and Canada. You're one, South America one, Europe one, etc., etc. It's being lined up at the moment by the elite, by the powers that be, by the Narvis Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order, the One World Government, which we're heading towards. You can see it now if you open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when these guys literally come back and appear on the earth and form these governments, establish a pseudo-peace for 3.5 years, but then all hell breaks loose, literally, and the guacamole hits the fan.
Ah, well said.
I believe, you know, the bad news is that the Titanic's going down. The good news is you don't have to go down with them. And my books are for evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just for Christians to get our ears tickled. They're for you to read, get blessed, and then give it away. Hand it out, cast your bread on the waters, and win a soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're here for. Not just to have fun, get drunk, and, you know, smoke pot. Make love to your girlfriend. Get her pregnant. Get out there and do something, you know. Bear some fruit for the Lord.
Well said. Well said, my friend. One of the things that I love about the show is being able to offer hope and solutions to people. And you, my friend, do that, and you do it in spades. You do it like nobody else. And I appreciate you so much. What can we expect from Dr. Patrick Herron in the future?
Well, Apocalypse Soon is coming out in a week or so, and Tom Horn, he's publishing it, by the way. Tom Horn of Raiders News Update has become a good friend of mine. So he says he's going to have me on shows and promoting Apocalypse Soon again, you know?
Yeah. Well, that'll be great.
Sawn-off shotgun. I'll get a copy to you, Frank.
I look forward to that. God bless you, my friend. Go get some well-deserved rest. And please, please, please stay in touch. Folks, it's time now for a brief legal identification for our affiliates around the country. Please stay with us. We're back with hour number 3 in about 90 seconds.